The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning, a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topic
and asks what you think.
So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
And a good morning, everybody. We are back into the heat of summer. We had that nice burst of rain that kept things, in the 90s, and now we're up in the upper 90s as we head into the weekend. It does remain summer. School getting ready to start on a Monday for many. It is already underway for many more. Got a lot of things I want to talk about kids and kids in trouble and kids doing bad things and the kind of parenting and lack of mentoring and lack of role modeling and lack of societal help that happens in cases like those. We got a lot of stuff. We got a trial going on with a local cop and horribly unfortunate event at a house party last year in Balt Springs. That's all coming out. We got body cam footage that is of key value in all of that. Political stuff. Attorney General Ken Paxton will join us at 8:30. I will ask him if he is in the mood or thinks there is a basis for a Pennsylvania-style attorney general's office wave of scrutiny to the state's Catholic priests. There's an argument that every state ought to engage in that kind of scrutiny so we can see what the heck's been going on in our state. Maybe it's a little, maybe it's a lot, but it ain't zero, I guarantee you that. And so a lot of the fallout continues from that story. And a number of things that haven't even occurred to me because they come from you. 866-660-5759. Grab a line. We'll begin our Friday exercise. Appreciate all y'all down in San Antonio this morning, as we do every morning during our first broadcast hour on Freedom 1160. But whether you're in San Antonio or here in DFW on 660 AM, The Answer, same time zone, same day, and gosh, that day would be Friday.
Ah, I feel good. I feel good. Ow! I feel good.
I feel good. I feel good.
You want me to say I feel good?
I feel good.
I would not.
So good. So good. I got you.
So we're doing yesterday's show, cruising through a bunch of hot topics, and then just a little bit before 9, about 8:50, my phone blows up, internet blows up, saw it coming, but didn't know exactly when it would happen. Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin, passed away yesterday at the age of 76. Lil Fink from 1968. And so we just went, pedal to the metal on Aretha tunes as we got through the 9 o'clock hour. And we'll sprinkle a couple through today as well, because yesterday was just an outpouring, a thoroughly proper outpouring of love and R-E-S-P-E-C-T for the amazing talent, the amazing legacy. And did you catch, it's not what I say, I'd forgotten about this, but the induction into the Kennedy Center honors was for Carole King. Carole King, an amazing songwriter, along with her husband Jerry Goffin, have written. Carole King's solo career of from that Tapestry album, but the stuff that she and Jerry Goffin were writing for other people before Carole King ever became a big deal herself, including a little thing called "You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman." And so a few years ago, Carole King is being inducted into the Kennedy Center honors, and it was during the Obama administration. So Michelle and Barack and Michelle are up there in the audience, as well they should be. and a number of other folks. And Aretha rolls out and sings Natural Woman, and Carole King in the audience is unrestrainable. Her level of of appreciation, her level of gratitude, her level of joy at seeing this iconic woman singing her iconic song, Carole King's iconic song. And of course, you know, who made it a match? You know, Carole King had a great career herself with a ton of hits. But that one she did for Aretha might be Carole King's greatest contribution to American popular music. I don't know. We can debate about that. But that footage, if you haven't seen it, just do a little Kennedy Center Honors Aretha Franklin, Carole King, and you will see appreciation and joy like nobody's business. And appreciation and joy, along with, of course, grieving, a sense of loss that always accompanies any death. But what a life lived. What a life lived. What an impact enjoyed on so many people around this country and around the world. Now, on that particular song, Think, Honesty, Show of Hands, how many of y'all are familiar with that? Only because of the Blues Brothers, 1980. That's okay. That's all right. Not everybody grew up with Aretha as the soundtrack of a generation, necessarily. Interesting story on that, because she appears in Blues Brothers, obviously, and had to lip sync to that song. And Aretha, she had done a lot in life and had a career of, you know, nearly a couple of decades by that time. But there's something she had never really done before, ever. Lip sync a song for a movie. And it apparently took like forever. And that's not a criticism. It's not a flaw. It's a crazy skill set, because you got like hear your own song coming through speakers and you've got to match what you're saying. You would think that would be in her head, right? And sure, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to match that to perfection. So that was an interesting day on the set of Blues Brothers, and so just I was appreciative of that particular movie and that particular and that album that Belushi and Aykroyd, some great session musicians, Steve Cropper, Duck Dunn, so many other folks playing on that Blues Brothers album, and with the inclusion of Aretha and Think on the Blues Brothers soundtrack, it gave, I don't know, I think that introduced a lot of people to the subject matter of blues and soul, and a lot of other records were sold as a result. So we'll drop some Aretha in today amid various other things. I've heard, you know what I do during the week is, during the week, I do it every day, is I'll pop along just if something pops up on shuffle, you know, in when I'm driving around, or something on some satellite channel that I haven't heard in a long time, I'll make a little note, go, let's plug that in on the on some show or another during this week. So there we are. Our stage is set musically. Now let's move on to topically. Lots going on. I'm going to start with a couple of things. One of them very national and one of them very local. The local one, it does involve the trial of Officer Roy Oliver. I think they've overcharged him. Is this a warranted shooting? I hate to take the terms of good shootings and bad shootings. No such thing as a good shooting. There's a justified shooting. The bunch of kids are pouring out of a party in Balt Springs last April. They're in the house checking stuff out. They hear a barrage of gunfire outside. The officers respond outside. Officer Oliver sees some kids in a car, you know, trying to beat a hasty retreat, and one of his fellow officers is kind of in the way of the car. Officer Oliver thinks that they're trying to run him down, and so he empties his gun into the car and kills a 15-year-old. Jordan Edwards, sweet kid, beautiful picture. You'll see that a lot. And a terribly pained and grieving family, as one would expect. I'll play you the body cam here in just a bit. The last thing you can ever do, is go, oh, I know what it was like to be there, because I don't. But we do have eyes and we do have brains. We also have to recognize we're engaged in a lot of 2020 hindsight. So my takeaway from this is that if I thought that a carload of kids was about to, you know, bowl over and kill one of my colleagues, would I fire? Answer is I might well. I might well. Did Officer Oliver overreact? Go too quickly to the gunfire option? In the testimony yesterday from that other officer, Tyler Gross, he said car was moving at about 2 miles an hour. I never felt like I was in danger. That's not helpful to Officer Oliver. But here's the interesting thing. Even if we say this is a bad shooting, I mean, an unjustifiable and unwarranted shooting. Murder? Murder? Now, he's also on trial simultaneously for aggravated assault by a public official. That might be a little easier to grab. I don't know why manslaughter was not an option here. Manslaughter is when somebody's dead. It's your fault, but you didn't mean to do it, or you didn't think about killing them that morning. There was not malice aforethought, as the saying, as the phrase goes. I don't think there's any way you convict this officer of murder. I'll play that for you, and we'll check that all out. The couple of broad national stories we have. Yesterday, we chronicled a lot of the yanking of the security clearance of John Brennan, this wheels off, hateful man who undeniably has a lengthy and distinguished career. And you'll hear this all the time about people. Hey, he advised presidents of both parties. Well, good for him. Great. Good for him. That's very 2002. Good for you. What is true, however, today is that the Trump election drove him crazy. But this is water that we swam through yesterday. So today, what we have, let me take a pause. I'll set this up, come back and tell you what we got today, and I'll explain it a little bit for you. And then maybe your explanation would be different, and that's fine. That's why we have phone lines, 866-660-5759. His clearance gets yanked. Then someone else who has served presidents of both parties said to President Trump, hey, why don't you yank my clearance too? It would be an honor to have you, yank away my clearance too. To which I replied, okay, that can be arranged. Anybody want to line up? Anybody else want your clearance yanked? We can do that all day long. And then now along come 12 people saying this is an attempt to silence people, an attempt once again, the false, clumsy invocation of the First Amendment. It's an attempt to squash people's free speech. John Brennan is free all day long to bag on the president. John Brennan is free all day long to engage in hate-filled tirades about the president. John Brennan is welcome all day long to reveal his depth of hate and revulsion of the president of the United States. What he's not entitled to do is keep a security clearance while doing so. Does anyone think that John Brennan would not weaponize something to help bring down this president whose election he simply has never been able to handle? Do you trust him not to do that? I don't. And that's why his clearance is gone. So along come like 12 other people who have said, that we stand with John Brennan in opposing the president's ill-advised revocation of these security clearances. And it's a lot of people who served Obama, some people who served Bush. And it's kind of funny on that list. And I was just looking at usual suspects, various people who managed to have had some intel experience. And I salute and respect intel experience. But here's the thing. They're all mortgaging that. Every single one of these people is mortgaging that and sacrificing it on the altar of Trump hatred. Now, sometimes it might be partisan or political and they might be hard left. A lot of these guys are not hard left. Some of them are Bushies. Some of them are from the elitist patrician Republican establishment, which may be more threatened by the Trump era than the left is. And so you get a lot of that angst. But one name on here was David Petraeus. That was a disappointment. Everybody else on there is the usual suspects. David Petraeus, really? Come on, dude. I would have expected you to not engage in this massive adolescent groupthink, this collective tantrum from people who just can't handle it. Poor John Brennan got his clearances revoked. All righty, 721-866-660-5759. We'll examine some of this, a couple other things going on, a lot of other things going on. It is a Friday. We'll wrap it up, do a little weekend review. Grab a line, anything that I wouldn't know to bring up because I don't know it because you got to bring it, that's fine too. Any subject from the week gone by that strikes you as unresolved, that's what Fridays are for. 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 721. It is Friday. We've confirmed that, right? Lowell, Georgia, the boys of Little Feet. Little high roller from Time Loves a Hero. 866-660-5759. Follow me on Twitter, at Mark Davis. Let's begin today's parade of phone calls. See what's going on the public mind in Dallas. Chris, hey, Mark Davis, welcome. Happy Friday.
Hello.
Hey, Chris, how are you?
Oh, good. How are you?
Good, thanks.
So I feel bad even bringing this up again because it feels like we're rehashing an issue that I kind of felt like we worked with. But you were talking yesterday about the Catholic Church and what's coming out, what happened in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And it just feels like, you know, it's another attack of something that already the church has already tried to deal with.
Yeah.
There have been huge changes in the church. They, you know, anybody who deals with any kids in the church, they go through background checks and mm-hmm. training. There have to be two adults that have been cleared mm-hmm. in the room at all times. Like, no kids are allowed to be, you know, with one adult at any time. And you never hear that in the news or anywhere, that, you know, all the good changes that they've made to try to deal with it.
This is a phenomenon. First of all, you're 1,000% right. And anybody thinking that, you know, in the decades that all this has been coming out, that nobody ever did anything, that no bishop, no monsignor, no priest, no flock, no, they just kind of waved it off and disregarded it. Totally not true. So you're totally right to bring this up. The problem is that with all the stuff that you and I could mention, all the stuff that you could bring up, all the reforms, all the added attention, all the added empathy, all the safeguards, it apparently might not have been enough along the path, because a lot of these charges are very old, but not all of them, to prevent the kind of protection racket that existed in the uppermost levels of the church to hide, protect, and enable priests who did this.
Right. Well, I agree, and I'm not defending the people that
I know
that did what they did, and I think it's a horrible thing, but I'm talking about very recent changes that
yep.
have happened with tons of safeguards that they've added, which I believe have happened after all of the stuff that they're talking about in Pennsylvania. I'm talking about very recent changes because, you know, when I was growing up, none of that stuff existed.
Yep.
And today, I mean, there are a lot of things that they do to try to protect the kids. But that is just since this last round of, you know, not the ones in Pennsylvania, but
nope,
the last time this was a big news story.
Yep. The retroactive shock over the years unfortunately overshadows real reforms and real protections that have kicked in the more recent past.
Right.
Yeah, a superb point, and a point that deserves to be made as loudly as everything on the negative side. Chris, thank you. Appreciate it very, very much. 866-660-5759. All righty. On 660 AM, the answer, DFW, Freedom 1160, San Antonio. I'm Mark Davis. All right. So yesterday, we had Madonna's 60th birthday. So it's apparently a big week for 80s female icons turning 60. Because this lady is 60 today.
But you found out yesterday that you were wrong.
I know I could have rolled out a little We Got the Beats, or Our Lips Are Sealed, or Vacation, All I Ever Wanted, but
and now you're calling me.
Went instead to a little Fading Fast from the Go-Go's, Belinda Carlisle. You know what a little secret is? These gals were great.
I'm just another boy that I made on a girl.
was 1981, and Belinda Carlisle is 60 today. And it's funny because was the girl group, was it a gimmick? I mean, it kind of was, but it was, that's a great gimmick. And I don't say that dismissively because from a lot of the Shirelles, the Marvelettes, the Ronettes, you can have some of the best stuff coming out in the 60s. The Donnas, if you have any familiarity with them, they are great and they rock hard. But I think that I don't know if a more interesting all girl band has ever been put together than Belinda Carlisle and Kathy Valentine, Charlotte Caffey, Gina Shock. Great. I can't find my car keys, but I know the members of the Go-Go's. Those are some great stuff. So I'll probably we'll sprinkle a little some Aretha. Our musical task is before us today on this Friday. 866-660-5759. All righty. To the phones. We are in Fort Worth. Terry, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
Good morning, Mark. How are you doing
today? I am good. Thank you.
Here's something bothering me really bad.
Yeah.
I'm big Ted Cruz supporter and big Donald Trump. I've got three phone calls.
Hey, Terry, real quick, there's something bothering me too, and I can't hear you. Are we on a Bluetooth, a wireless, a something? Because okay, much better. Start over, you bet.
Okay, there's something really bothering me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big Ted Cruz supporter,
mm-hmm.
and I'm a big Donald Trump supporter.
Mm-hmm.
I was for Cruz in the primary till he went away. Then I jumped over on Trump's bandwagon.
Indiana primary, we remember it well.
And I'm really pleased with the job Trump has done. I don't think we've ever had a better president in my lifetime. But Cruz, on the other hand, is really bugging me.
How so?
I've got three phone calls from O'Rourke already. I'm definitely a registered Democrat. I mean, registered Republican.
Right.
I've got three phone calls from O'Rourke's people already.
Yep.
And I have not heard from Cruz once.
What do you need to hear?
I need him out there working, trying to get the base out to where he gets elected and we don't get stuck with O'Rourke.
Yep. I hear this a lot, and
I mean,
we talked to them.
I need to hear that he's out there working.
Well, he was traveling every day. He was in McKinney and Arlington the same day a couple of days ago. The funny thing is, how do we know that anybody's working? Is it when their people call our house? Is it TV ads, which have not really started yet? Is it rallies? Is it what if, you know, Beto is making these annoying calls and they're not robocalls. He's got an army of people out there making real people phone calls, and I'm getting texted five times a day. I don't know how they get every single number in the world. That is mobilization, no doubt about it. But does that necessarily equate to votes? Does that necessarily mean that here in mid-August, you know, that Ted Cruz is just being outworked by Beto? I don't think so. I think that Beto and a lot of other Democrat candidates are just trying to stoke it and do lots of crowded rooms and lots of texting and lots of calling in August in order to stoke the base, which is fine. And majority of people ain't paying hardly any attention till after Labor Day. We're trying to figure out what Ted's trying to do right now is get Beto on a debate stage. You want to talk about impact. You want to see Ted Cruz go to work. Watch August 31st in DFW if that debate even happens, if Beto agrees to it. You know, the morning after that debate, we'll be talking about, what millions of people will be talking about. So I just wouldn't sweat it right now. Truly.
All right. Well, I appreciate your commentary.
You bet. And I take nothing for granted. And I'll tell you who else takes nothing for granted. And that's Senator Cruz. His people know absolutely well that this is not a fight that they can take lightly. I can sit here all day and say that Ted Cruz is going to win and it's not going to be that close. And I believe that, but he dare not believe that. Or if he does believe it, you better not say it publicly. You better not act like it. Always run scared. Always run like you're not scared necessarily, but you know what I mean? Run like you're up by one. Better yet, run like you're down by one or down by three. So that when people really start kicking in, paying attention during the month of September and then additionally in October, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That everybody can mobilize because, again, the election ain't tomorrow. It is the first Tuesday in November. Appreciate you. Now, let's get a little closer to that election day. I believe you've heard my recorded message on this, and I certainly told you all about it all day long yesterday, and that is our event on October 24th. In order to take a look at what is about to happen here in Texas and around the country, are we going to lose the House to Nancy Pelosi? I dare say not. Are we going to keep and, in fact, increase our lead in the Senate? I believe so. Will the 2018 vote be a referendum on Trump? It absolutely will. And how's it all looking from state to state? I mean, which states might give us a turnover into Republican senators? West Virginia, North Dakota, Missouri, Indiana, all of those are possible. What struck us as a good idea is gathering an event on a stage here in DFW with a bunch of people you know and letting you come on in and just let the passion wash over you. It is the Battleground Talkers, October 24th, that evening. It's a Wednesday night at the Irving Arts Center on MacArthur. I will be joined by my talk show buddies, Larry Elder, Mike Gallagher, Dennis Prager, all three of these guys. Oh, my gosh. And former White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer. He's bringing copies of his book. So if you want to bump it up to the VIP level, you'll get a free copy signed of Sean's book, and you'll schmooze with us backstage. $30 gets you into a seat, and there ain't no bad seats at the Irving Arts Center. It's October 24th, just a couple of weeks before the election. The stuff will be at a fever pitch anyway. This is going to be a wonderful, wonderful, inspiring night. So join me for the Battleground Talkers. I can't wait to welcome these guys onto the stage with me. We are going to have us a time. The only thing missing is you. You can fix that by getting your tickets right now at 660amtheanswer.com. 660amtheanswer.com. See you there. We're in Mansfield. Steve, hey, Mark Davis, welcome. Happy Friday. How are you?
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Hey, all this conversation about these security clearances, everything kind of piqued my curiosity. When I was in the Air Force, I was detached my entire career to NSA. Mm-hmm. We were in a special covert unit, did a bunch of stuff. But our clearances, and I worked in the same unit that Snowden worked in, who took all those secrets. But, you know, we were on a need-to-know basis, and you were only had access to information that you really needed to know. And when I got out of the Air Force, we were sat down by a group of people, told us what we could do, what we couldn't do. Like I was told I couldn't leave the country for 25 years. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't give me a passport. But they immediately revoked our security clearances because we no longer had a need to know.
Yep.
And I've always been curious about these people who are political appointees who get clearances. Then they leave their position. They no longer have a need to know because they don't have a job. So why?
Correct. That's maybe this whole Brennan thing is a path toward clarity that maybe if you're not CIA director anymore, not with the NSA anymore, maybe you don't need the clearance anymore. The logic has been this. Let me bounce the logic off you, see what you think. Is that if you are a Michael Hayden, a Leon Panetta, a Porter Goss, George Tenet, guys who, you know, Democrats or Republicans trying to be a bipartisan, and you used to have that gig, if you're president now, it's kind of cool to maybe buzz these guys, run some stuff by them. Maybe some of it might be classified so that you can get their take on the modern world. That's been the logic so far.
Well, to a certain extent, I agree with that. But again, they're still political appointees. And if they're not in the day-to-day operations seeing what's going on, what does Brennan have to give other than
Thank
his
you.
Slant? Under the Obama administration.
Thank you. That is the best point on this all day. Thank you, Steve, because not only have things changed since Brennan was daily tapped into modern intel, but Brennan has also lost his cotton-picking mind. He's been eaten up with Trump hatred, which means that not only is availability of national security secrets to him not a net positive, it might be a net negative. So thank you, especially with your resume. Thank you very much. So here's so originally you had this this supposed rebuke. Well, it's not a supposed rebuke. It's a rebuke. We had a number of folks, Admiral William McRaven, a good guy. He headed U.S. Joint Special Ops Command, oversaw the 2011 raid that killed Osama bin Laden. Good for you. Good for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So he writes this op-ed in the Washington Post excoriating President Trump's McCarthy era tactics. And he said he'd consider it an honor. This is after he yanked Brennan's clearance. He said he'd consider it an honor for President Trump to revoke his security clearance in solidarity with Brennan. My Twitter reply was, that can be arranged. Any of y'all want to line up for this toddler tantrum of people who once served this country so well? And you're going to get beaten to death with this today. Oh, all these people, they're so honorable. They're so great. They served presidents of both parties. Yes, they did. That was then. This is now. Because now, we have the additional letter from like 12 people, former CIA directors, former NSA directors. Here you got William Webster, George Tenet, Porter Goss. Former CIA directors Michael Hayden, Leon Panetta. It's your usual suspects. These folks hate Trump anyway. Here's the one that kind of winged me. David Petraeus. Really, sir? Really? James Clapper. Ooh, there's a surprise. And some former deputy CIA directors, most of whom you've not. No, here's an interesting thing. Most of whom you've not heard of, except maybe for one, Michael Morrell. Mike Morrell now does is a consultant for CBS News. If I'm a news organization and I've got a guy who's like my big intelligence brain, am I going to let him sign a Trump-hating letter? This is just out of control. So these 12 people have written this letter, essentially showing solidarity for Brennan. Now, are these people all Trump haters? Are they driven by Trump hatred? In some cases, totally. But in most cases, not really. There's been another thing working here. And that is, it's kind of an establishment phenomenon. It's like they may be sort of liberal, they may be sort of conservative, but what Hayden, Panetta, Petraeus, Clapper, Webster, Tenet, Porter Goss, what these people all have in common is they're members of the club. It's a really exclusive club. It's a really cool club. It is a really praiseworthy, magnificent club with achievement that's better than many other clubs. It's called I've Been CIA Director. It's called I Have Run the NSA. It's called I've Had an Amazing Job Serving the Nation, maybe under a Republican president, maybe a Democrat president, maybe both. But I've had this gig. I've had like the keys to some really secret rooms at the CIA, and there are only a few of us who have ever done this. It's the club. And sometimes the club membership trumps politics. Sometimes your brother in the club means more to you than what your beliefs ought to teach about the world, about politics, about society. And so when President Trump seeks to break up the club or take away somebody's club card, you know, even if it's John Brennan, who is such a wheels off, petulant toddler of a critic, they are mightily insulted in the club because a guy who's not a member of the club came and plucked somebody out of the clubhouse, and they don't like that. So that's that phenomenon, and it's really unfortunate. Listen, I don't need all these former CIA directors, NSA guys. I don't need them to love Trump's revocation of credentials. They could say, you know, it's not our favorite thing to have the credentials yanked, blah, blah, blah. But if he chooses to do it, especially in the case of somebody like John Brennan, who is just an erratic hate monger, at the least, well, maybe I wouldn't have done it, but okay, I kind of get it because Brennan's been way beyond the pale. And the thing they need to recognize is there's no free speech issue here. Are these people stupid? I don't think so. That's why there's no excuse for them suggesting that someone is trying to suppress free speech, suppress criticism, blah, 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 blah. Oh, for crying out loud, it's just all so dumb. Anyway, working through it, 866-660-5759. I'm Mark Davis, 751. To take us out, little Lenny Kravitz. Sugar. Here on the Quiet Storm. From the Are You Gonna Go My Way album. Thanks for going my way here in the first hour. I'm yours. Much appreciated. And you- Have a good weekend, San Antonio. Freedom 1160. Appreciate y'all hanging out with us. Hour number one. 660 AM, the answer DFW. Get ready for hour number two, hour number three. Action packed. Ken Paxton, AG, joins us 835. And a number of other topics. More of your calls right around the bend. Follow me on Twitter at Mark Davis. Stick around.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.